So all the kindergarten through fifth grade can go ahead and at this time head back into the lobby. There are a bunch of leaders waving their hands back there. So head on back. Today is a good morning. Like, I walked in, I saw some friends, all like new people. And it's just in the baptisms, like, it just sets the tone. And we're in this series right now. It's called The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. And Pastor Scott, he kicked us off. He introduced us to this series last week. If you haven't listened to that yet, I strongly urge you to go ahead and spend 30 minutes. Just carve out 30 minutes of your day in a day next week. And the reason I say that is because it's an important message. More than anything else, Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven. More than anything else, everything he does, everything he speaks about, talks about the kingdom of heaven. And so Pastor Scott dove into that. And he also talked about some things that prevent us from entering into or really grasping what the kingdom of heaven is like. So again, I'm trying to strongly encourage you to go ahead and do that. So please do that. But throughout the Gospels, you will see that sometimes in other gospel accounts that it's referred to as the kingdom of God. And if you're wondering, why does Matthew refer to it as the kingdom of heaven? And why does Matthew or Mark, Luke, and John, why do they refer to it as the kingdom of God? It's because the audience, the community that Matthew was speaking to was a Jewish community, and they would see God's name as so reverent that they wouldn't want it being used. And so Matthew knows this, and he talks about the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, they mean the exact same thing. So today we're going to dive into a moment. It's in Matthew 13. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. But we're going to dive into a moment where Jesus sets the tone for how we are to understand, for how we are to live. It's a pivotal moment in what Jesus is teaching. And today we're going to kind of, like, I want to warn you, we're going to kind of get into the weeds of this. Because if Jesus' message, if God's word was simple, okay, then it wouldn't challenge us to look at ourselves, to look at the world around us, to look at how we are entering into the kingdom of heaven, which is near. So we are going to spend some time. I'm asking that you stay with me on this. It's going to be a challenging message, and I'm excited to dive into it. So chapter 13, it includes Jesus using a series of parables. And what is a parable? Parable is a method that Jewish rabbis would use where they would tell a story in order for us to grasp the message and the truth and the depth of it. It would often, parables would often be referred to as handles. Handles allow us to grasp something. What Jesus is teaching has so much complexity, so much depth to it, so much truth, that he wants us to have some handles with it. There was a Hebrew word for a parable, and it would be mashal. Mashal also was a term used for shadow. The truth of it would be so great and so grand that it would cast a shadow, and that's the parable that Jesus is using. And if we look at the Synoptic Gospels, okay, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the reason that they're referred to as the Synoptic Gospels is because they all have the same message with Jesus' life. They're synoptic in that. And in there, there are a series of parables that Jesus teaches. And in those series, it's always kicked off with this same parable. The parable of the sower. He wants us to grasp this. What he's saying is, in order for us to grasp the other parables, we first have to get this one. This one's really important. It's vital to us understanding the kingdom of heaven. Okay? So he sets the tone for all of his parables with this one. He wants us to grasp it. It's complex. It's challenging. And we really have to dive in. And context matters a ton, okay? So let's picture what's happening. We're going to put ourselves in Jesus' sandals here for a moment. There are thousands of people who are coming to listen to him. And they desperately want to hear a message that is good news for them. a message about Jesus, a message about the kingdom of heaven. And if you put yourself in his shoes, what's the first thing that you would want them to understand about the kingdom of heaven? What's the first thing that you would want them to understand about following Jesus? I wonder if you've ever had that kind of conversation with someone. I hope you have. That is such an opportunity to witness, to talk about good news. Those are the things that I pray for all of us, is to have that kind of moment where somebody comes up to you and they say, you live a little bit differently. What does it look like for you to live for Jesus? What does it look like for you to be a follower of Jesus? I hope that has happened. There is a truth that is so foundational that Jesus starts out because he wants them to grasp this. The same way that somebody's asking you, he wants, this would be his answer to them. So this truth, this depth of it, it has handles. Are you with me on this? I hope I'm painting a good enough picture about how important this parable is. If I'm not, it's just really important that we get it, okay? All right, so I'm going to ask that you come with me. Let's jump right in. It is chapter 13 in Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And I want to stop here for a moment because I want to show you a picture of the sower's cove. That's what it's referred to because they believe that this is where Jesus would have preached this message, where he would have given this parable. So if you look, you can kind of have an idea that Jesus is in a boat. And if you look at the street above, okay, that's about 300 feet away. And I remember years ago reading through this parable. And I was like, could they really hear Jesus back then? So we used to have a cottage when I was growing up. And me and my buddy Jeff, we were sitting on the dock and we were fishing. And my brother and his two buddies, they took a fishing boat out into the center, like right, it was probably 150, 200 feet away. Now, they prepared this. They brought a balloon launcher and some balloons. And they're sitting there, and I can hear his buddy Kevin saying, hey, let's get Benny. Let's get Benny with a water balloon. And I'm like, hey, I can totally hear you guys right now. Like, the fact is, what I'm trying to illustrate is that you can totally hear with the acoustics of the water and the surrounding area. There are studies done that you can YouTube where you will have people trying to understand if they could hear, if the people who were gathering around, those thousands of people, if they could hear Jesus. And they absolutely could. So this huge crowd, it's wanting to hear Jesus' message and is waiting to hear what he has to say. And Jesus dives in brilliantly in this message. He dives in brilliantly because he wants to relate to them. He understands that the people who are following, the thousands of people that are there, 90% of them are made up of poor people. Majority of them are peasant farmers. So they would have lived this life, especially here in Galilee where the soil is really fertile, so there would be seven crops that would be grown back then. Like, this is farmland. And so how does he relate to them? Listen to the parable of the sower. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And then the fourth, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced crops, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. This is the parable that starts all the series of parables. This is the ever important one. This is the one that he wants us to have handles on. Okay? And I want to show you a picture of farmland back then. And it's going to describe the four different soils that Jesus talks about. So this is an actual picture from a farmland in Galilee. There's the green area is another set of good soil, the good soil on the left. But if you look in between, you're going to see the path. And this is where the farmers would walk. You're also going to notice that as barriers, they would use rocks and there would be thorns. So the crowd that's listening to Jesus would absolutely picture something similar to this. They would understand it. They would be able to relate to it. For you and I might tell a story about a cottage or talking on the water, and because I want you to understand it and I want you to grasp it. And most of you would say, I know exactly what he's talking about. It's the same thing that's happening here with Jesus. Okay? So, this is the parable of the sower. And there's something that I find fascinating in what Jesus talks about with the four different soils, is that there are constants. There are constants in this message, the parable of the sower. The constants are what? You have the four soils, but then you have two other aspects of this. You have the sower, and then you have the seed. Those don't change, do they? And before we get to the soil, I think Jesus was really intentional in this. I think he wanted us to grasp it. Because when we grasp the fact that there are two constants, the sower and the seed, we start to understand that the sower is God and that the seed is the gospel. And those don't change. Nothing in those change. I believe that there is a fundamental truth and depth to the fact that those two are the constants. And because we understand that, it can be life-changing, it can be groundbreaking for you and I in our faith when we understand that those are constants in our life. That God is always faithful, he's always good, he's always present. He always shows grace and mercy and compassion. That's his character. His love for you and I, no matter what you and I do, no matter what you and I do, never changes. No matter what the soil looks like, it never changes. And the same thing with the seed. The seed is the good news. It's the gospel. It doesn't change. And by naming that truth, what I think it does is that it brings more attention to the variables that Jesus is naming in this parable. So here's my question to you. What are the variables? It's the soil, right? But what does the soil represent? Do you have an answer that comes to mind? I'm not going to ask you to go ahead and stand up and speak it. But do you have an answer that comes to mind? For many of us, we might see the soil as our neighborhood. We might see it as our family, as our friends, as our job. What is it that comes to mind? Now, the truth is that those are all really good answers, and I think we need to dig deeper. You see what I did there? Like, it was a good one, and nobody laughed. It's all right. But we do need to dig deeper. Jesus wants us to dig a lot deeper. He doesn't just want us to name those as our soils. So let's continue. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? So his disciples are wondering this question. Why do you speak to them in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. For a message that is so important, for a parable that's so important, why does Jesus speak to them? And he says, you guys will get this. You guys will understand it, but they won't. Do you wonder that question? What I believe Jesus is getting at is that those disciples have put in work. When I talk about God's word, when I talk about the message of Jesus, when I talk about scripture, it is complicated. It takes work to understand it. It isn't simple. And that is what I believe Jesus is getting at. that this message, this parable, takes work for ourselves. And then he quotes Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. And I don't want to skip through this part quickly because the answer to what does the soil represent, it's in this. And I want to see if you can pick it up. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and in turn, I would heal them. Did you pick up on the answer? This is so brilliant in how Jesus explains this to his disciples, that there is a condition in us that will either allow the seed to grow or the seed to be shallow, the roots to be shallow, or to be trampled on, or to be taken away, or to wither. There is a condition in us. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. What's the answer? Heart. Thank you. It's in bold. It's right there. Jesus is telling us that the only variable in this parable is the condition of the heart. That's what the soil represents. It isn't, when you think of like family, when I said, what does the soil represent? And it might be family or neighborhood. It goes deeper than that. What Jesus is getting at is extremely personal. He's starting out this message that starts a series of parables, and he's getting really personal with a crowd that's listening. And he's relating to them in a really specific way. He's saying, right now, the condition of your heart is what I care about. That's the soil. The heart back then, that was what controlled everything. In Proverbs 4:23, we read, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And as you walk in to this gym today, and maybe you're listening online, as you walked in, your heart has a certain condition to it. It's been formed through experiences. It's been formed through practices. And Jesus understands that. That's why he starts out with this, is in order for us to understand God, in order for us to receive the seed that he's planting in us, we truly have to understand that it starts with the condition of the heart. It will impact our relationships at home. How we conduct ourselves at work, how we live with integrity and character and honesty, all stems from the condition of the heart. That's why the soil isn't just the family or friends or relationships. It has everything to do with the heart. It's deeper than that. It's the source of how we enter into all of that. I want to share a story with you about a friend of mine. And so, as I always do, I asked him if I could share this story because it's vulnerable and it takes bravery and courage to do so. And I loved his response. I want to read it to you. He says, you may also use my name. I hide no secrets, especially if it's to help someone or let them know they are not alone. My goodness. I love that so much. So I sat with my friend Josh across the table at Rainbow Grill years ago. And it broke my heart. I remember sitting in front of him and tears were flowing down his face as he described a father that would say he's going to come and go and pick him up. And Josh, as a little one, would sit on the front porch with his backpack and wait. Wait for that car to pull up in the driveway, and that car never showed. And then Josh, he turned to substance abuse, broken relationships. And as I sat and I listened to his story, I saw a hardened heart. I saw one that was hard for him to receive the good news. The good news that he has value, that God has tremendous value in him, that sees value in him. And as he wept, I saw his heart start to soften. I want to speak on that for a moment, on a calloused heart, on a hardened heart, on the experiences and everything else. And I will get to the next chapter of Josh's story in a minute. But I think we can all agree that this world can be really hard. All of us are walking into this with a heart condition that has been formed, right? And it's because the world around us is really difficult. We hear things, we see things that break us. And it breaks us because it breaks God's heart to see. This hasn't changed in thousands of years. So Jesus' emphasis on the impact of how we see God and how we receive his word absolutely has to do with the heart condition that is being impacted by the world around us. The author of Hebrews wrote this, "But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Sin's deceitfulness will absolutely lead us to have hardened hearts. It will cause us to believe lies about ourselves, lies about other people that we're with. You might doubt your own value or the person that you're with or the people around you or your friendships. You might doubt that you're worthy of those. I can tell you right now that that's not what God intended for us, but that is a result of sin's deceitfulness, hardening our hearts in order for us to receive the good news and the gospel and the truth of who God is. In order for us to feel better, in fact, what we often do is we go to a quick fix. It might be alcohol, it might be drugs or pornography. It might be gambling, it might be anger, it might be lust. The list is long. The opportunities to enter into those sins' deceitfulness is long. And that quick fix, the reason that it's so complicated, that God's word is so complicated and requires so much work is because it's not a quick fix. Quick fixes never work. So when we enter into this and we understand the parable, what God is getting at, what Jesus is getting at, is that the condition of our heart absolutely impacts us and the world around us. And when we sin, not if we sin, but when we sin, our ability to see God's value in us gets shaken. So Jesus goes on to explain the four different soils, and I want you to listen to these really carefully, okay? I want you to maybe picture yourself, whether it's yourself today or a past self. I want you to picture yourself in one of these that he describes. And I want you to ask yourself, what is the condition of your heart right now? What is the condition of your soil? Jesus says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, the quick fix. But since they have no root, they haven't put the work in, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Third one, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness, the sin of wealth, choke the word, making it unfruitful. And then the fourth one, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. What is the condition of your heart? When you read those, what resonates with you? So what do we do? That's a lot, okay? That is a lot to absorb. That's a lot to take in. So what do we do with this message? What do you and I do with this message? The answer to that is to understand farming. For a city boy like me, not the easiest thing. But there is absolute brilliance in what Jesus teaches in this. And I started to think about my uncle, who was a farmer, generational farmer. And I believe that when he would read this parable, that something would click with him. There would be something that he would recognize in those four soils that maybe I wouldn't have picked up on. My uncle would remember having to wake up before the sun came up, and he would see his father already ready to go for the day. He would work alongside his father with sweat beating down. No days off. No complaint, because that was just life for them. It's what they loved to do. It was hard work. So of the four soils, which one requires more intentionality, more focus, more discipline, and preparation? Which one of them? Because back then, the farmer didn't have machines, so he would take that and it would be like a sprinkler and he would go like this with the seed, right? But he wouldn't just walk out onto the land in hopes that it would take. No, there would be some preparation that would have to happen. He would have to identify where the good soil is. And anybody that has farmed land absolutely understands the preparation and the work and the discipline and the focus that is required in order for you to yield a crop. And they would also understand that there are rocks. In this parable, there are rocks and there are thorns that need to be removed in order for good soil to yield a crop. In other words, someone who identifies the condition of their heart and understand what causes a heart to become calloused must prepare their heart daily to understand God's grace and God's mercy. For a lot of us, our heart condition right now requires us to name the fact that there are rocks and there are thorns in there that harden our hearts, and that those need to be removed. That's the hard work. That might be counseling. That might be naming the fact that you have a problem, you have an addiction. All of those require you to bring to attention, to go ahead and work the field, to bring to attention that you are working on the field, that somebody sees you working the field. That's called bringing somebody along with you. Whatever the condition of your heart is, you understand that there are two constants, that there is God and the gospel, but you also understand that you need to work. You need to work on removing the things that harden your hearts. I told you I would tell you the rest of Josh's story. I believe that Josh wouldn't have offered his desire to go ahead and help if there wasn't transformation, right? If his heart wasn't softened by the gospel, if he wasn't to receive the seed. Josh's story is one that is so inspiring, and I'm so glad that you get to hear it, because right now, he is a fantastic father. He did the work, went to AA. He did the work to make sure that his kids, his two kids, his boy and girl, understand that they have a father with good soil. And because he has good soil, they receive the abundance of good news from that. He's one that volunteers here at church. He's one that I confide in because he's wise and he understands me and he wants to help. You see, a hardened heart cares more about keeping people out, right? Keeping the crops out, the good news out. But a softened heart, one that receives the good news and the gospel, is one that lets it come in and absorb. If you wonder about God's loving, transformational purpose in your life, I strongly encourage you to look at the condition of your heart. And so I want to leave you with this. Here's what I wanted you to ask yourself and to work on this week. What is the condition of your soil? And what needs to be removed from your soil in order for an abundance of life to happen? What are the rocks and what are the thorns that are preventing you from experiencing an abundance of life? Will you pray with me, please? God, as we sit here today, God, I am reminded of your grace and mercy. God, I'm reminded that you call us to experience new life through your word, through a relationship with you, in a relationship that is so constant. God, that you will always pursue us. God, I am reminded of the goodness of your favor, the goodness of your faithfulness. As we experience the baptism of Callie and Johanna, God, today was a good day to learn about you and the love that you have for us, and also for us, how we are to prepare our hearts for you to receive it daily, your grace and your mercy. So God, I pray that you give us the courage, you give us the wisdom to go ahead and go forth from today to understand what is the condition of our soil, what is the condition of our heart. God, that because we identify it, God, that we can live into a life that helps the kingdom to be near to a lot of other people. God, we love you and we bless you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.